はい、じゃあ今日はヨハネ18章を学びます。ヨハネ18章開けてください。 So let's turn to John chapter 18. Let's begin in, we're going to look at the second half today. 今日は後半を見ます。ヨハネ18章、そして19節から40節まで読みます。 So let's read from John 18 verse 19 to verse 40. We'll read the second half of the chapter. Okay. So you guys want to read maybe five verses each?
そこで大祭司はイエスに弟子たちのこと、また教えのことについて質問した。イエスは彼に答えられた。私は世に向かって公然と話しました。私はユダヤ人が皆集まってくる街道や宮でいつも教えたのです。隠れて話したことは何もありません。なぜあなたは私に尋ねるのですか？私が人々に何を話したかは私から聞いた人たちに尋ねなさい。彼らなら私が話した事柄を知っています。イエスがこう言われた時、そばに立っていた役人の一人が大祭司にそのような答え方をするのかと言って平手でイエスを打った。イエスは彼に答えられた。もし私の言ったことが悪いならその悪い証拠を示しなさい。しかしもし正しいのならなぜ私を打つのか。アンナスはイエスを縛ったままで大祭司カヤパのところに送った。
Anna? Oh. 24? 24. Ah, yeah, Samita.
Oh, Simon Peter has been at the meeting. So, to him, he said, I don't know if you're a deity or not. Peter was here, he said, I don't know.大祭司のしもべの一人でペテロの耳を切り落とされた人の親類にあたる者が言った。私が見なかったとでも言うのですか？あなたは その出あの人と一緒にいました。ペテロも一度否定した。するとすぐに雇いがいた。さて彼らはイエスをカヤパのところから総督官邸に連れて行った。時は明け方であった。彼らは杉越の食事が食べられなくなることのないように汚れを受けまいとして官邸に入らなかった。そこでピラトは彼らのところに出てきていった。あなた方はこの人に対して何を告発するのですか？
彼らはピラトに答えた。もしこの人が悪いことをしなかったら私たちはこの人をあなたに引き渡すとはしなかったでしょう。そこでピラトは彼らに言った。あなた方はこの人を引き取り自分たちの法律に従って裁きなさい。ユダヤ人たちは彼らに言った。私たちは誰を死刑することも許されていません。これはご自身にどのような死に方をされるかを示して話されたイエスの言葉が成就されるためであった。そこでピラトはもう一度官邸に入ってイエスを呼んでいった。あなたはユダヤ人の方ですか？イエスは彼へ答えられた。あなたは自分でそのことを言っているんですか？それとも他の人があなたに私のことを話したのですか？
ピラトは答えた。私はユダヤ人ではないでしょう。あなたの同国人と祭司長たちがあなたを私に引き渡したのです。あなたは何をしたのですか？イエスは答えられた。私の国はこの世のものではありません。もしこの世のものであったら私のしもべたちが私をユダヤ人に渡さないように戦ったことでしょう。しかし事実、私の国はこの世のものではありません。そこでピラトはイエスに言った。それではあなたは王なのですか？イエスは答えられた。私が王であることはあなたが言う通りです。私は真理の証をするために生まれ、このことのために世に来たのです。真理に属する者は皆私の声に聞き従います。ピラトはイエスに言った。真理とは何ですか？彼はこう言ってからまたユダヤ人たちのところへ出て行って彼らに言った。私はあの人には罪を認めません。しかし杉越の祭りに私があなたのために一人の者を釈放するのが習わしになっています。それであなた方のためにユダヤ人の王を釈放することにしましょうか。すると彼らは皆また大声を上げて、この人ではないバラバだと言った。このバラバは強盗であった。
OK. はい、そしてまあ、まず日本語で話します。それから英語で訳します。 OK、じゃあ今日は、I'll first begin in Japanese and then I'll translate into English。 今日の、テーマは迫害です。今世界中に私たちはまあまあ迫害あんまりもう日本ではあんまり受けてない環境ですから、迫害はなかなか分からないで、良くないとか思っているんですけど、まあ、実は経験してないから、あんまりどう解釈すればいいか分からないですけど、世界の中で迫害を受けている人たち、まあ、間違って逮捕されたりするクリスチャンもあまりにも多くて、彼らの経験、私たちは何ができるか、そしてどんな私たちにある時にどんな態度を持てばいいか、まあ、前もって勉強しなければならないので、今日は少しそれについて話したいと思います。最初はこの裁判は違法でした。この裁判はまあ、現代の法律学者とかはと歴史学者はよくまあ、分析したことある。で、あらゆる点でこれは違法でした。なんか最初に違法した理由は夜に行われました。裁判は絶対に夜してはならない。昼の間でしなければならない。なぜなら証拠は明らかにしなければならない。物事を隠してはならない。そしてほとんどの人は寝ている間にしてはならない。もう明らか、裁判の意味は全てを明らかに真理によって照らされるようにということですから、夜に裁判してはならない。それは一つ。もう一つは訴えられる人の言葉を逆に用いてその人に訴えるすることもできない。それは違法でした。本当は彼らは最初からイエス様に対して明らかな告訴を持って、で、それをその告訴が正しいもの、合っているということを証明しなければならない。それは裁判の意味です。で、自分を守る人はそれが正しくないということを証明しなければならないですけど、この裁判には別に告訴はなかった、訴えることはなかった。ですからピラトに渡した時に、ピラトは彼は何をしたかで、彼らはまあ、微妙に答えた。30節で、この人が悪いことをしていなければあなたに引き渡したりはしませんとか言ったけど、それは全然具体的じゃない。それは曖昧なことです。悪いという、この人は悪い、その悪いと言ってもそれは歌えにならない。で、あともう一つはイエス様が打たれた。まだ何の罪に定められてないのに打たれました。で、それも違法でした。からあらゆるところでこれは違法、迫害は違法。だから私たちは迫害を考えるときにまあ法律的じゃないとダメという概念はもうとりあえず忘れてもいい。迫害がなるときに法律的にならないので、もうそれを理解しなければならない。じゃあなんで迫害はあるでしょうか。なんでクリスチャンは逮捕される、なんで神様はそれを許しているかというと、イエス様がピラティに言った通りです。見てください、37節。そこでピラトはイエスに言った。それではあなたは王なのか。 イエスは答えられた。私が王であることはあなたの言う通りです。私は真理について証しするために生まれ、そのために世に来ました。真理に属する者はみんな私の声をに聞き従います。じゃあイエス様は何のために来た？良い暮らしをするために来たでしょうか？そうではない。イスラエルを祝福するためでしょうか？そうではない。彼が今言っているのは真理について証しするために生まれたと書いています。じゃあ私たちは同じように真理について証しするように新しく生まれたとは言えます。なんで私たちはこのように言います？真理について証しをする。で、真理について証しする方法は様々です。一つは大声で言うこと、一つは手紙を書くこととか記事を書くこと、一つは自分の行いによって神様の愛を分かち合えることですけど、何かそういう方法あります。しかしその場合は今の状況ではイエス様は迫害されて真理について証ししています。38節、次にピラトはイエスに言った。真理とは何なのか。こう言ってから再びユダヤ人たちのところに出ていて彼らに言った。私は人に何の罪を認めないと言います。だからピラトはイエス様を見て、彼は明らかに間違い、明らかに彼らが勝手にイエス様を逮捕して何の罪ないのに訴えている。ピラトは真理は何なのかと、この人には罪がないということは彼の心の思い、そのために迫害があります。この世の人たちは罪は何なのか、真理は何なのかと、この世はやっぱり罪深いでしょうということを公に、そして心の中で認めるように、私たちは迫害を受ける役割があります。多くの場合は昔に誰かが迫害された時に、その正しい愛するような態度で迫害を喜んで受け入れたために、他の人もそれを見て救われるようになりました。昔の殉教者 の歴史を読んだら、そういう記録があります。例えば殺人、死刑をする役までその場でイエス様を告白する、そして彼もその場で死刑を受けたという話まであります。今最近の場合は ISIS の中では、あるイスラムの人たちは彼らがやったことを見て、やっぱりその悪さ、その悪を認めて信じるようになった人も出てきています。イスラエルにずっと、ユダヤ人に憎みをかけているハマスのテロ団体の中から救われている人もいます。ので、この世の人たちは自分の罪はどれだけ悪いかを彼らが認めるために、やっぱり神様は私たちに迫害を与えますので、イエス様が私が父に渡された杯を飲まないでいられようかと言いました。神様に与えられた奉仕はもう飲み込みましょう、認めましょう、受け入れましょう。良い祝福の時も喜ぶ時も迫害される時もあります。しかしここでその理由を考えながら、私たちは迫害を受ける理由はこの世の罪を明かしする、この世はどんなに悪いか、この世はどんなに罪深いかと、彼らは真理について考えるきっかけとなるために、私たちは迫害を受けます。イエス様はここで あの3つの質問を出しました。ヨハネ18章最初はなんであなたたちは私に泥棒をやっつけるように出てきたのか、私は泥棒でしょうか、もう毎日公に神殿で教えたりしました のに松明とか武器を持って私を逮捕したのか。次はなんでまあそれを読みましょうか。19節、大祭司はイエスに弟子たちのことや教えについて、尋問した。それは明らかに彼に対して何か訴えるように見つけようとしていた。で20節、イエスは彼らに答えられた。私は世に対して公然と話しました。いつでもユダヤ人がみんな集まる街道や宮で教えました。何も隠れて話してはいません。そう、イエス様は明らかに言ってた。で裁判中にイエス様にそういうことを聞かれて、それからじゃあ何か訴えようかということ、それは違法だから、イエス様は何で私に聞いていますか、それは裁判でやるべきことでしょうか。もう最初から私を逮捕する前に何か訴えはなかったでしょうか。なぜでしょうか。で、なんでこんな違法な行いをしていますかと、イエス様は彼らに言っている。で、次に、撃たれた時に、23節、イエスは彼に答えられた。私の言うことが悪いのなら、悪いという証拠を示しなさい。正しいなら、なぜ私を撃つのですか。その人は、おそらく、自分の目上の人の目で良い人のように熱心であるように自分を見せかけたけど、でもイエス様は彼に、なんで私を撃ったんですか、それは法律的でしょうかということです。もちろんそれは違法でしたけど、私たちは結局迫害を受けるときにイエスみたいにその質問をする場合もありますけど、見られてみんな分かっている場合もあります。なぜ私たちはその人たちを迫害しているか、なぜこの世はこのように行っているでしょうか。いろいろな人が罪について学ぶために私たちは迫害を受けます。そして聖霊は今世界世の人たちに罪の定めに関して語っているので、私たちもそのために用いられる、はい、ので、迫害を受けるときにまず理解しなければならないのは、私たちはヨガ真理について学べるように、そして自分の罪がどれだけひどいかを理解するように、神様は私たちを用いるでしょう。Alright, so the first point, quickly, in John chapter 18, is the trial. The trial of Jesus is what we're talking about tonight, and more specifically about persecution. So, a lot of us have lived and grown up in atmospheres and environments where we don't have specific persecution. But of course, we know that in many countries around the world today, and in all ages, Christians have suffered terrible persecution, and they are today.So we need to understand about this, not only because we have to stand with our brothers and sisters and understand their experiences, but we also have to face it ourselves eventually. So it's time that we really got this settled in our heart about what is the reason for persecution. Because if we don't know the reason that we're being persecuted, and if we don't know what's the purpose behind it, then when persecution actually comes to us,we may doubt. And so, rather than have to face those questions when we're standing before the bar, we may as well look into these things now. What was the reason that Jesus was put on trial and persecuted here? Remember, Jesus said, "This cup that the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" And persecution is a cup that the Father gives us. It's a cup. It's a situation. It's a ministry that God gives us to drink and take and accept. And we take it into ourselves and we live it up. There are many ministries in our life. One of them is being persecuted to death. And if the Father gives us this ministry, then we need to take it. First of all, this was an illegal trial. It was firstly illegal because it was done at night. And specialists in the law and history have looked at this trial. There's a lot been written about it. And they've pointed out the few reasons why this was an illegal trial. The first reason was it was done at night. Trials were never supposed to be done at night. They had to be done in the day. The idea of a trial was to make things clear, to shed light on the facts. By doing something at night, it's very easy to hide things. You're hiding the person's face. Someone might speak and it's not clear who was speaking. There's all kinds of things that make a trial at night very subject to corruption. And so trials were always to be done in the day. Secondly, a person could not be punished until he was found guilty, innocent until proven guilty. Of course, the Romans didn't follow that for non-citizens, but that was the principle. Jesus was struck, even though he had not had any charges laid against him, even. And secondly, there were no clear charges here. They were trying to find Jesus' own words and then use that against him. The purpose of a court case is, first of all, you have a charge. Then you go and arrest the person based on that charge. Then you go to the court to prove that charge, and his job is to defend that charge. But they didn't have a charge. So when they gave him to Pilate, Pilate said, "What's he done?" And they said, "Well, if he wasn't a bad guy, we wouldn't have given him to you." That's not a charge. There's no law against being a bad guy. And that's pretty much what it says here. "If this man were not doing evil," it says in this version. But that's not a clear charge. They needed to have a clear charge. He broke this law on this day at this time, for example. So there are many reasons why this is illegal. And so what Jesus does here is he asks three questions. First of all, he asks when he's arrested, "Have you come to me as like to arrest a robber with weapons and torches? Didn't I speak clearly in the temple every day? Why are you coming against me as if I am a terrorist?" A robber in those days was a kind of a terrorist, by the way, the zealots. Secondly, he says to the high priest Annas, he wasn't high priest actually at that time, his son Caiaphas was high priest, son-in-law, but he says, he said to Annas, "Why are you asking me about my doctrine? Why don't you ask the people who heard me?" And I'm sure he probably pointed to people in the room who had heard him many times. "They know what I said. Why don't you ask them?" Because in a court case, you're supposed to ask the witnesses. You're not supposed to ask the person. Ask them. Why are you asking me? It's got nothing to do with me. You're not supposed to be asking me when you don't even have a charge yet. This is not protocol of court. You're not following the rules. And thirdly, when the guy hits him, he says, "If I've spoken wrong, testify of the wrong. Otherwise, why did you hit me?" This is not the place. We're not in the executioner's room here. We're in a court. This is not a place where, you know, some public assistant, public servant, is going to start striking out at people without any charges against them. So everything they were doing was wrong. And Jesus, in asking those questions, is bringing to their attention the fact that, is this right? Is this really the way it should be? And so when we face persecution, that's what it's all about. It's about God asking the world, is this right? The way that they are killing the Christians, the way that they are making people lose their job if they say what has been believed for many, many years, the way that they deny people their freedoms, is this right? Is this the way things really should be? You can tell someone, and people will be hard of hearing, but the Holy Spirit is in the world to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come, but first of sin, and that's what's happening here. Jesus is asking them the very questions that he's asking the world when it persecutes Christians. Is this right? So, we are the servants of God. We are sent into the world to testify of the truth. In verse 37, Pilate says to Jesus, "So, you're a king?" And Jesus answered, "Exactly. You say I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is the truth, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And after this he said to him, after he had said this to him, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." See, this is what the Holy Spirit was doing. He was making Pilate think about what is truth, what is important, what is reality. And then, this guy is obviously innocent. So when we experience persecution, there are people in the world who will ask this question: what is true? And why are we doing this? Why are we living this sinful way? Why are we conducting these sinful deeds? Doesn't mean they're going to get saved, but it does mean that God has testified to them. And if they accept it and they come into the light, they will be saved. But if they don't, they will carry with them that condemnation to death. And there is no person living in this world who will go to hell because he didn't have any knowledge of God. He had a knowledge of God, but he rejected it. And this is a way that we give that knowledge to the world so that they can make a choice. And God wants everyone to choose to come into the light. But if they don't, they're not going to go to heaven accusing God, because God has given everyone that testimony. So sometimes it's necessary for us to face persecution just for that purpose. If there's no other way to make them listen and understand, that's the way that God will choose. はい。そして次のところですけど、政治的な動機がありました。ピラトは結局、イエス様をユダヤ人に明け渡した。引き渡した。なんでそんなことをしたでしょうか。ピラトはユダヤ人に喜ばせるためにそうしました。そのイエス様を撃った人も目上の人を喜ばせるためにそうしたに違いないので、私たちもこのポイントを理解しなければならない。私たちはどれだけ正しいか、どれだけ本当のことを言っているか、どれだけいい人かはもう本当に関係ない。この世の何よりも大きな原則は、人の行為を招くために私たちは裁かれる。この今の選挙は、このことはよく出てきています。例えば4年前にと今回 のメディアのカバレッジを見て、面白いところはいくつか気づきました。4年前にクリントンさんはトランプより多くの人が選んだのに、トランプは通りました。でそれはその人数よりもそれぞれの州がその何ポイントが入っている、そしてポイントの競争で彼は勝った。その時のもう世界中のメディアは、アメリカの古い臭いやり方で、それはもうどうしても認められないとか、この彼はもう違法的に大統領になっていた、そればっかり言ってたけど、今回はそういう言葉とかそういうリポートは一度も見たことない。逆にトランプが負けそうなので、それをただ説明しているだけで、もう一つの文句も言われてないので、この世の人たちは本当に政治的な関係を真実より大事にしている。好き勝手に物事を文句するに対して文句する、好き勝手に無視する、いつも それがあります。イエス様の時もありますので、結局私たちはこの時代に入ってもっと迫害されるようになるかもしれない。その時もきっとそういうコネクションを守るために私たちは引き渡されるから、その時によく心に留めてください。おかしいとか、ダメとか思ってもそんなもんです。そんなもん。 この世の国々は集まってイエス様に対して攻撃する。あの詩編あの 2編をちょっと見てください。詩編2編、詩編の2編、一節、なぜ国々は騒ぎ立ち、もろもろの国民は虚しいことを企むのか。なぜ地の王たちは立ち構え、あの君主たちはあの愛ともにあの集まるのか。主と主に油注がれた者に対して、うん、あのもうあらゆる国々の人たちは集まって一緒に神様に対して敵対する。はい、まあでも社会にはそんなもんです。あのあらゆる人たちは集めてあの神様に対してあの攻撃をするので、私たちもそういう政治的な理由で結局迫害を受けるかもしれない。まあ聖書の迫害の あのあらゆる例を考えてみると、そればっかり、あのエルサレムにいるあのパウロはその暴力を起こさないためにローマに逮捕された。彼が何か悪いことをしたじゃなくて、ユダヤ人が騒いでたからパウロが逮捕された。エレミアはあのバビロンが成功する、エルサレムがうまくいかないことを言ったために逮捕された。エレミアは律法を一度も破れなかったけど、政治的な理由で逮捕されました。ナボテはあのアハブ王に自分の畑を売れなかった。そしてアハブは最初はそれを認めたけど、彼の奥さんはあのいろいろな人に影響を与えて、で王様を支えるためにあの偽証人が出てきてナボテにあの与えて、そしてナボテは殺されました。あのダニエル、シャドラク、メシャク、アベネゴ、みんな政治的なために大変な迫害に入れられました。だから私たちも結局もう何が正しいとか何が本当のことかはそれは関係ない。もう真理で何なんのかとピラトは言いました。この世の人たちは真理でそういう概念も分かってない。彼らは自分の都合、政治的な都合、社会の、 あの、まあ、平和とかを守るために良い人をあの裁きます。ので私たちはそうなります。まあ認めましょう認めないことではもう意味ないですよ。その時に神様は私たちの迫害を通してこのように強くあの語りますので、そういうふうにあの認めましょう。はい。Okay, so the second point was, why do we become arrested? Well, we know the reason of God. The reason of God to arrest, for allowing persecution into our life is to convict the world of sin and to make the world question what is truth. That is the reasons that have come up here in John 18. But now let's look at it from the world's perspective. Why does the world persecute us? It's not because what we say is not true. Pilate said, what is truth? They don't even know what truth is anyway. It's not because we are not good people or we're bad people or whatever. It's because of basically people's political and social connections. You think of all the list. Let's go through the list in the Bible. Paul was arrested in Jerusalem by the Romans, not because he had done anything wrong. He was arrested because the Romans didn't want any fighting going on. And so they arrested Paul. And they kept him in prison for a long time. In fact, probably he never even got released, ever. Until he died, perhaps. We don't know exactly what happened at the end of his life, but it would seem that he never really escaped from that arrest. Why? Because he'd done anything wrong? No, not at all. Because of political reasons. the Romans wanting to please the Jews and stop a riot. Jeremiah was arrested because he had predicted the success of one country and the downfall of another. Totally for the political reasons, they said that this guy is a traitor and convicted him of treason, so that he was put into a pit. Naboth didn't sell his vineyard to Ahab. Ahab, in the beginning, just acknowledged that. He wasn't happy, but he acknowledged it until his wife came along, Jezebel, and she stirred up the people and made it into a political connection issue. Then suddenly all these false witnesses appeared and started accusing Naboth that he'd blasphemed against God and the king. And then he was arrested on political grounds and put to death. Daniel, because of his allegiance and just praying rather than keeping the rules of Darius. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Historically, they say that in that particular time, Nebuchadnezzar had just put down a rebellion in one part of Babylon, and it actually says at the end of Jeremiah that one of the king of Jeremiah of Israel at that time, before the final captivity, he had to go to Babylon, and it seems that that was the reason he had to go. They had to go down and show a show of loyalty to King Nebuchadnezzar, all of the vassal kingdoms. And that's why he had to go. And then only three people, it seems, didn't bow down. That was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So it was totally political. It wasn't really about worshipping the idol. It was about showing political allegiance. And so it is this time, at this time in history as well. When we get persecuted, it's not because we're not good people or bad people or what we say is wrong. All that's nonsense. That's what they will say. Oh, he blasphemed, he spoke against the king. Rubbish. It's purely for the convenience, political convenience. But we've got to acknowledge and remember this fact. This is the world we're living in. We're living in a world that is politically controlled by the devil, and we just have to accept that. When we face persecution, unfortunately, it'd be nice to think we face persecution because we said this and acted this and stood up for our faith. In reality, we may be killed for some most silly political reasons ever. But if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. Remember, God's purpose is to convict the world of sin and make them question truth. The world's purpose is of nonsense. It's nonsense. So we need to get that settled in our heart, because if we come before the court and we think we're really being persecuted for this political reason, it'll seem crazy, and in our mind we won't be able to accept that. How can I accept this? But if we understand it from God's perspective, we can say, yep, okay, I see. This is my time now to testify to the truth, that the world may understand the wickedness of this world, and that they may also question what really is truth. Okay, じゃあ last point. そして最後のポイントは、私たちはその裁かれる、裁かれるか、迫害を受ける、その時の態度に関して考えたいと思います。イエス様は暴力を振らなかった。イエス様はうまく、賢く、鋭く質問を聞きました。パウルも同じようにしました。じゃあペテロの場合はどうでしょう。ペテロが逮捕された時、使徒、使徒十二章見てください。使徒十二章。はい、じゃあ一から6節を読みます。じゃあ、フミ、can you read them?
1から6。その頃、ヘロデ王は教会の中のある人々を苦しめようとしてその手を伸ばし、ヨハネの兄弟ヤコブを剣で殺した。それがユダヤ人の気に入ったのを見て、次にはペテロを捕らえにかかった。それは種なしパンの祝いの時期であった。ヘロデはペテロを捕らえて牢屋に入れ、4人1組の兵士4人組4組に引き渡して監視させた。それは杉越の祭りのあの地に民の前に行き出す考えであったからである。 こうしてペテロは牢に閉じ込められていた。教会は彼のために彼に熱心に祈り続けていた。ところでヘロデが彼を引き出そうとしていた日の前夜、ペテロは2本の鎖につながれて2人の兵士の間で寝ており、戸口には万兵たちが牢を監視していた。
はい、ありがとうございます。 OK、ここでまあミドラシがありますね。気づきましたか？イエス様が逮捕された時と今ペトロが逮捕された時の共通点はあるでしょう。あ、同じ時期です。あ、パン種のないパンの祭りの時、まあちょうど杉越祭りの時です。ヘロデ、まあその政治的な力がユダヤ人を喜ばせるために、あの神様のものを引き渡そうとした。ちょうど同じです。だからパターンとしてどの迫害でも結局一緒、悪魔は一緒、この世の考えは一緒。私たちが迫害された時に、まあそんなにね、自分の環境の実情は気にしなくてもいい、適当ですよ。悪魔はその裏にとりあえず同じことをしようとしている。そしてペトロはその時に寝ていた。イエス様は嵐の中で船で寝ていた。ペトロはそれを見た時に、後でイエス様はあの収まれって宣言した時に、あのペトロは、主よ、私から離れてください。私は罪深い人間だからと言いました。もうそのことを見てすごく感動していた。次の時にペトロは実際にその嵐の高い波の上を歩くことができた。今は完全にあの、まあ、その時もちょっと溺れそう、沈みそうな時にパニックになった。でも今回は次の日に殺されそうな時でも寝ていた。あなたは明日死刑を受けると思ったら寝れる？でもペトロは寝ていた。やっとペトロの中で、ペトロの心の中で神様の成長の働きが完了したみたいです。彼は殺される時でも、殺されそうな時でも平安を持てて寝ていた。じゃあ迫害されても寝ることができる、平安を持つことができます。私たちも迫害を受けるときに平安を持つことができます。まあそれは簡単に言えるけど、実は難しいですよ。ペトロはもういきなりそういう状態になったわけではない。いろいろな経験でやっとそのレベルになりました。私たちも迫害を受ける前にもう学ばなければならない、試される必要があります。本当に私たちの信仰が試されなければならない。本当に皆さん立てると思いますか？自分の家族は、あなたは今イエス様を否定しなかったら家族が殺されるって、その時はどうする？自分だったらいいけどね、他の人が殺される、死刑を受ける、自分の子供たちとか主人とか誰、教会のメンバーが殺される、あなたは今イエス様を否定しなければその人を殺します、どうする？いや、もう私たち明らかに私たちは最後まで忠実でなければならない。この時にペトロは助かった、ヤコブは殺された。だからある人は神様の計画のために助かる、ある人は神様の計画のために死にまで引き渡される。あの神様はその人にあの霊的に冠を与える、あの殉教者の冠を与える。 その人は素晴らしい永遠に入る。だけど本当に今その質問の、問われる必要があります。神様の皆を否定しませんということは学びましょう。自分に対して何があっても、家族に対して何があっても、隣の人たちに対して何があっても、もちろん他の人を助けるために自分が何か悪いことを受けることができる、それはもちろんですけど、でも神様の皆を否定することとか罪を犯すこと、まあ、になるとそれは無理です。その時に私たちは否定しません。攻撃とか戦うことも、まあ、聖書の中でもそういう時ある。霊的な戦争とか戦争ありますよ。だけどイエス様は自分の時が分かったから戦わなかったですけど、戦争のこともあります。でも神様の皆を否定することになると絶対できません。自分の信仰を断ることはない。だからまあヤコブは残念でしたでも、まあ、どっちが良かったでしょうか、分かるの。もうとりあえず2000年ほど前に2人とも亡くなりました。どっちが若干早く亡くなったか、あまり関係ない。彼らは2人とも良いよみがえりを経験するから。時々私たちは疑問に思う、なんであるクリスチャンはいつも助かる、他のクリスチャンはすぐに誰も見られないところでみんな忘れられて殺される。難しいですけど、神様はあらゆる人に対してそれぞれに特別な計画がありますので、私たちはただ神様の計画に自分の役を見つけてその通り果たすなら素晴らしい。もう誰が早く亡くなったか、誰がより祝福されたか関係なく、私たちは神様に従います。ので、今その国土をちょっと時間を割いて考えましょう。例えば私は今迫害が来たらどうする。自分の持ち物、自分の家族、自分の家、自分の仕事、自分の何でも持ち物全部もう神様に今渡しましょう。今渡したら後ではもう自分のものだと思わないし、迫害が必要なら受け入れます。他の人が亡くなったら神様に任せます。しかし平安を持つこと、それが私たちに対するその約束です。この世の人たちはその平安を見てある人が信じるようになります。ステファンは逮捕された時、彼は一度も自分のことについて弁明しなかった、自分のことを弁明しなかった。よく見てください、使徒6章とか7章でステファンは長い話をした。イスラエルの歴史で私は 何もとか、クリスチャンはとか、政治的にとか社会的じゃ何も言わなかった。ただイスラエル人はこういうことをしたし、今お前たちは同じようにします、いつまでも神様を否定しているでしょう。神様のメッセージを彼らに伝えて、殺された時にもうこのことを彼らのせいにしないでくださいということだけを言いました。ので、私たちは同じ信仰を持たなければならない。自分を弁明せずに神様のメッセージをその時に伝える、それは私たちの貴重な機会となるでしょう。はい、 OK。 Come in, guy. How's it going? OK, yeah, so let's go to the next point in English. All right.We're looking at John chapter 18, and finally we're talking about the question of persecution. Why are we persecuted? So very quickly, just to go over the main points. Jesus was persecuted because, and he was arrested because, and he was put to death because it was God's way of convicting the world of sin. At the crucifixion of Jesus, the whole world understands the nature of sin. If Jesus had not come and died, if God hadn't have left heaven and come to the earth and died, the world would never have had a real concept of sin. God gave us sacrifices and we get some idea of the horrible nature of sin. This animal had to die for me. But when Christ, God himself, came and died, the world understood what sin was. And Pilate, when Pilate let him go to them, he said, "What is truth?" And so the world is brought and forced to question, what is truth? What is truth really all about? That is God's purpose in why some Christians are called to give up their lives, some Christians are called to suffer. Right through the history of the world, Christians have always been persecuted, and in many countries today they are. That's what God's purpose is. Again, that we testify to the truth, and that the world understands what sin is. And it gives them an even greater reason to come for forgiveness to God and understand that they have to deal with this issue. This world is sinful. This world is corrupt. God is good, and he's calling us out of this world. But the hard point is, of course, that the world's reasons for persecution are not so clearly as good. They're totally political. They're, you know, just to give themselves advantage in the eyes of the state, in the eyes of the school, in the eyes of the world. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent, but he wanted to do the Jews a favor, so he let him be crucified. He just washed his hands with water, as if that made him clean. But if you go through the Old Testament, you find it's the same. Every time someone was arrested, every time someone was persecuted, it was always done for a political reason, which in the long term meant very little. You know, it didn't. It was nothing to do with their words or their actions. So the reason we're saying this is that when comes time for us to face persecution, if you think, "Hey, this is crazy. I haven't done anything wrong, and yet they're persecuting me," you'll get all frantic and upset in your heart and whatever, because you think that's the world's reasons. The world's reasons are not real. What is God's reason that he's allowing me? Of course we defend ourselves. There's not a problem with that. And of course we should go through the legal process and everything. We have the right to do that, of course. But often in this corrupt world, we're not given the chance to do that. In many cases in persecution, people are denied a lawyer. And you know, I know what it's like to be denied a lawyer. I remember when I was arrested in Tokyo. And the hardest thing of all of that was, I said, "Can I call the consulate?" And that guy said to me, "You are not in Japan." And that, to me, is really corrupt. I didn't mind everything else that happened to me, and I was willing to accept the fact that I'd made a mistake. But when they treated me like that and said, "We are not giving you the right to any help," that was really hard to accept, actually. Actually, I've never really talked about that before, but looking back now and having thought about it recently, that was actually the hardest part of all that whole thing, to be told that you are not allowed to have a help. And so when we get arrested, or when we get persecuted, when we get these things happen to us, that's what the world says to us. There's nothing you can do. You got no legal rights here. You're a nobody. Well, that's what they say. But remember, if we think about what they say, we get frustrated, anxious, disappointed, panic maybe. But if we remember God's purpose is, this is a chance for the world to think about truth. Now, I'm not saying what happened to me was persecution at all, but I'm saying this. That was a normal legal process in which I was denied the right even to contact the consulate. How much worse would it be, though, if it were an issue of religious persecution? Then it would be much more serious. You have no hope at all then. I mean, to me, it was just the next day you'd be sent home. Fine, no problem, I could go home. But what if it's death or imprisonment or something like that? I mean, this is the reality in China, you know. People just disappear and they can keep people indefinitely without a charge. So what do you do then? If you think about the world system, there's no right rhyme or reason about it. But if you think of God's purpose, God is convicting them of sin and making them question truth. Now, let's turn to Acts chapter 12, the book of Acts chapter 12. And this is the last point here. Just to think about what happened to Peter when Peter was arrested. Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer was made for him by the church to God. Now when Herod was about to bring him out, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. Remember, Peter was asleep. I mean, if you thought you were going to be killed and put to death the next day, would you be asleep? How could you sleep? He had peace. He was asleep. He had peace in the situation he was in. But remember, he didn't just, you know, say, oh, whatever, doesn't really matter. Peter had been trained for this time over a period of years. The first time, everyone was panicking. Jesus was in a boat, and Jesus was asleep. And there was a big storm. And when they woke Jesus up, he said, "Why are you panicking? Where's your faith?" And he calmed the storm, and Peter saw that. And Peter was very moved, and he said, "Lord, depart from me, because I'm a wicked and sinful man." Peter was mentioned of all the apostles at that point there. It doesn't mention the others, it mentions Peter. And the second time it happened, it was Peter who stepped out, and he had the faith now that he could step out over the waves. The others were panicking, it's a ghost, and Jesus said, "It's I," and Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, let me walk to you over the water." And God allowed him to do that. He walked over the waves, but when he started to sink, he started to doubt, and Jesus grabbed him and said, "Why didn't you believe?" So you can see, the first time in the boat, it was Peter. The second time in the boat, it was Peter. Then at the cross, Peter denies him. Now, Peter himself is in like the time of the cross. Notice, it's the days of unleavened bread. It's Easter time. It's the Passover time, just when Jesus was arrested. And just as Pilate gave Jesus to the Jews to do them a favor, now Herod is giving Peter to the Jews to put him to death, to do the Jews a favor. And just like the Jews didn't want to do it until after the feast, so this time they don't want to take Peter out until after the feast. It's exactly the same situation. Same pattern. In other words, the same devil, same principles of persecution. It's always the same. But Peter has learned how to have peace. He's asleep in his time of crisis. Because to him, it wasn't a crisis. He's learned. And we also can learn that no matter what happens, we can be at peace in God's will. Why? Because we know that despite what the world is trying to do, we know that what God is doing, Jesus is in control. Here's some of the realities that we have to deal with. James was put to death with a sword. He didn't get a trial. He didn't get any help. He just got put to death. Some of the Christians who belonged to the church were persecuted. We don't know what happened to them. Peter had an angel come to him and take him out of the prison. Why do some Christians seem to get all the help in the world? Some Christians just get struck down as if they were nothing. And other Christians, we never know what happens to them. Why is that? Well, God has a different plan for each one of us. God uses our lives in different ways. It doesn't mean that one is better than the other. Peter, James, and John, they were the inner circle of Jesus. They were the greatest apostles, the closest to Christ. John lived out his days to the end. Peter was put to death at some point. James was put to death very early. Why? Because God had a different purpose for each of them. And so God has a different purpose for all of us. But the reality when we face persecution is that, why do, what if they say, you know, if you don't deny your faith, like in North Korea, they put your family in prison and your family gets killed. I mean, it's one thing that if I deny my faith, if I don't deny my faith, I'll be killed. That's easy, but what if it's your family? That's really, really hard. But we have to settle this matter now. God has a different purpose for each of us, but He has told us not to deny Him. We don't deny our faith in God. No matter what the world does, and there's this, the devil is a serpent. He's very zurui, and he knows how to really get us. But don't fall for it. Even if they say, I'll put your father to death, you say, you take him then. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to deny my faith in Christ. Even if they say that about your neighbor or whatever, anybody, you don't deny your faith in Christ. I'm sorry about the other person, but God will look after that person. God has a plan for that person. Your responsibility is to be faithful to God. Now, of course, we're not talking here like, I mean, if there was like one lifeboat and, you know, to save others you might jump in the ocean. All right, that's not a problem. You can take it and save them. But when it comes to denying God, you don't deny God, no matter if they kill other people. You don't deny God. We have to understand this. This is a very clear principle. We never deny our faith. Because that's what we're called to do. Jesus said, when he was about to be put to death, he said, for this reason, I've come into the world to testify to the truth. That's why I came. And I'm going to die now to testify to the truth. And his disciples, in their own time, would all die to testify to the truth. And so we are called to do. In this world, there's political corruption. There is, you know, the strong crackdown on the weak. You know, it's like the way that animals behave. That's the curse of this world. People behave like the jungle, like animals. But we don't, because Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. We know that our position in this world is to stand up for Christ, to be saved by Him, to know Him, and then to testify to the world about Him. He has given us an eternal life, and He welcomes us into that life when we give our life to Him. So the way that we can stand in persecution is not just think, well, we'll be all right when it comes. No, you won't. You've got to be ready now. You've got to allow God to prepare you, and He prepares you by taking you through these experiences in your life. And He will give you time and time again chance to practice not denying your faith, even when it costs you or other people a price. But He also gives us great promises. In fact, there's a special reward for those who give their life for Him. It's called the Martyr's Crown. Not like in the Islamic sense that you just go and blow up people to get the Martyr's Crown. But when it comes, we just act faithful, we love, we don't deny our faith. And if ever people want to put us to death for that, okay, well, that's, I'm not going to stop them. Someone said about Idi Amin. Idi Amin was a terrible dictator who died in 2003. He was in Uganda. And the bishop, one of the people, I think, who was killed by Idi Amin, said, someone said to him, Bishop, if I gave you a gun and President Amin was sitting in front of you, what would you do? It would be like saying, you know, if Kim Jong-un was sitting in front of you and I gave you a gun, what would you do? And he said, I would give the gun to the president. I would say, President, I think this must be your weapon. It's not my weapon. My weapon is love. So that's the attitude we have to take. No matter what they do, that's fine. But what we do is we testify to God. So this is the first of maybe some steps that we need to take to prepare ourselves to stand when persecution comes. But I believe that more and more in the days to come, this is going to be a serious issue which we need to prepare for. So, はい。そして、まあ、最後に、あの、私たちは主の皆を否定しないこと、これからの日々に私たちの信仰は間違いなく試されるけど、あの、今からその覚悟をしましょう。その準備をしましょう。あの、はい、楽しみにします。神様が私たちを強めます。それが楽しくなかったら何でしょう。何が楽しいでしょう。 はい、じゃあ祈りましょう。天のお父様、ありがとうございます。あなたはすべての勝利を受けました。そしてどの状態でもあなたは乗り越える。そして私たちも一緒に乗り越えます。どうか神様、私たちが迫害を受けるときに、その練習のときに、ぜひ私たちの弱いところ、弱さを指摘してください。今でも悔い改めますから、お願いします。感謝します。いつも私たちを強めてくださるイエス様に感謝します。イエスの御名によってあります。アメン。 OK。